outside for tea. Just you and me.
Opening those doors.
She's keeping us hostage.
You want out? No one's gonna stop you.
Which is what we regularly say on the Midweek Drive as essential in terms of how things are actually going. You know, you want out, no one's going to stop you. It's coming, of course, from a magnificent movie, that particular trailer. What movie does that happen to be, Holly?
Might this be Bunker 6?
Do you know, I think it very could be Bunker 6. What do you think, Sophie Hannah? Sophie Grayson?
I definitely think Bunker 6.
Definitely think Bunker 6. Jessica?
Yep. It's Bunker 6.
It must be Bunker 6, clearly. And who might we actually have online now but the director of aforementioned fabulous sci-fi London movie of all sorts of things, but Greg Jackson, the very same, self-same director of Bunker 6. How are you, Greg, and what's the weather like in Canada?
I'm fine, but it's terrible here. It's raining and cold and nasty.
Just like Lincoln, then, which is fantastic, except I don't think we have the rain as yet, but still, never mind. I'm sure Jeff Thompson, our web listener at present, might actually sort of come back with a weather forecast as well. So well done. Hello, Jeff. Nice to sort of connect with your good self. And hopefully we've brought the microphones up one by one, so all should be well. And if it isn't, well, you can always check out the podcasts. There's some marvellous stuff here. Greg, when we last spoke, which was months ago now, far too long ago, Bunker 6 has obviously sort of just emerged as very much part of the sci-fi London scenario at that particular point of view. Now, of course, you can actually go online and access the whole thing. You can purchase Bunker 6, you can watch through it. It just continues to grow and get better and better, really. I mean, you must sort of think, well, I'm not going to direct any other movies. I'll just stay with Bunker 6 now because it's doing so well.
Well, no, I think I'll probably do something else. I hope, you know. But yeah, it's been going terrifically, actually.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's a good movie and well worth accessing. It kind of brings together the paranoia of the 1960s and obviously the nuclear threat that we all were facing with respect to time and so on, even though technically three of the people in the studio, probably four of us actually, weren't really around when the thing was actually happening. But in terms of the thing, just share the concept again, because it plays around with paranoia, it plays around with, as you said, you cast one of the lead roles in it because she kind of carried with her connotations of the Shelley Duvall character in The Shining and so on. So you've got a whole range of things happening within this whole sort of activity. So provide a plot précis, please, Greg.
Well, it's basically what happens when a young woman basically is forced to grow up inside a nuclear bunker after a fake history, like a different history, an alternate history, if there actually was a nuclear war in the early 60s, essentially. And what happens to her as things start to break down in that bunker after about 10, 15 years.
The one thing I would say about your costume choice, I think she I mean, go on, let's give the lead actress a name, because one of these days she will join us on one of these links. Her name is?
Yes, Andrea Norwood.
Andrea Norwood. You mentioned
Shelley Duvall. Today's her birthday, actually.
Oh, well, Holly, what do we say? What do we say when it's somebody's birthday on the show? We say,
happy birthday,
Andrea Norwood. Exactly.
As you would in any other situation, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do that here too, yeah.
It's strange, but it's part and parcel.
It's a crazy world in radio.
Exactly. You know, we have to spread that love across the face. Happy birthday, Andrea Norwood. I kind of caught elements of Summer Glau in the sort of Terminator story. I thought there were certain elements of Summer Glau coming across there as well. I don't know if that was deliberate or whether she's just channeling aspects, but we just sort of show the team sort of photograph of. And, oh, there we are. Just crash into the microphone there. And indeed,
you're right.
Provide an industrial injury for Holly Park. Parker. You have witnesses, so obviously you can claim on that. But if we do the, if we move the thing around slightly there, I think sort of suddenly elements of summer glow are coming across there. Or maybe Shelley Duvall. What do you think, Sophie?
I think definitely Shelley Duvall. Definitely those the haunting eyes.
Yeah. And Shelley Duvall as in The Shining, not Shelley Duvall as in Olive Oil. Although, obviously, you know, she did Popeye as well.
Surprisingly so. Similar looking, though.
It's very true. Very true. But no Popeye in Bunker 6.
No.
No, no. Not even the tuna. No. we cast her basically, like, I knew her for quite some time, but she's just really good, and I wanted to work with her, so...
And it's her birthday on December the 10th, so there we are.
That's right.
It's marvellous stuff on that sort of point of view. Sophie, you've had a look at the trailer. Does it inspire you to actually find out more?
Oh, definitely. It looked really... It looks like my type of film. I'm a sucker for a psychological thriller. And things like Cabin Fever, where you have a limited space, definitely intrigues me. What inspired you with Bunker 6? Was it just a fascination with nuclear war or post-apocalyptic alternate universes?
A little bit of both. I grew up in the early 80s, so that was always looming, and it was something that was always on my mind. And I knew the actual bunker that we shot in is fairly close to Halifax, so I knew that that location was sort of available, and I knew that the condition was in would really help. It's fixed up now. It's actually quite nice, but at the time when we shot it, it wasn't. And it was sort of, we had a very, very limited budget. So to keep it sort of simple and delicious, it was best to just do something small and one location and keep it interesting too. Like, you know, so I didn't want to, when you have about $100,000 budget, people tend to do like romantic comedies or slices of life thing. And I had no interest in doing something like that. So I want to do something different.
No, definitely. It looked fantastic. And, of course, Nova Scotia is bordering onto Maine, which is Stephen King country.
That's right, yeah.
Which I'm very familiar with. I spent my summer in Maine. But the atmosphere that you get from driving around there, and especially in the evenings, all of the pine forest and that, I can see definitely what inspired you with the scenery. So
they shoot a Stephen King series here out of town called Haven. Just for that reason, yeah.
Haven, I think, is still surviving, whereas, of course, under the dome, who knows what could happen? They're still under the dome. How have they got out of that dome? It's very confusing. And one of these days, I'm sure, we'll find out whether they actually... Well, the dome will know, I'm sure. The great thing, of course, about movies which are low budget is that you can, as you said, Greg, focus on the character, you can develop a whole range of things, and, of course, it is speculative fiction. You don't have to have a mega budget to actually produce good quality drama on screen.
Yeah, as long as the acting's good and the characters are solid, like I think that it will carry anything, really.
And, of course, let's give a full name check to Rebecca Sharratt, the producer of Bunker 6.
Oh, yeah.
It's always important because, you know, we work with that. Jessica, what are your thoughts on Bunker 6? Have you managed to catch any trailer? Is it a case of I'm too busy with my end-of-term stuff?
No, I briefly watched it just before I got here, and I thought it was really, really interesting. I also love thrillers as well. I like films that make you think. Sometimes with like claustrophobic kind of films, I don't know what it is, but it affects me. I feel like more emotionally tied to it, I suppose, just because I don't know what it has an effect on me somehow. But the quality looks quite good, I thought. So yeah.
And it's nice to know you've got a genuine bunker that's in there as well. Holly, yeah. What does it do? Does it float your boat? Do you think, yes, I want to go with that one?
Yeah, well, after the success of it as well, because you've obviously had some success with it, I wondered, is there going to be a sequel, a prequel, something else related in the same universe?
An alternate timeline.
Honestly, it all depends on the funding bodies here in town. But I'm actually trying to get a comedy off the ground, but if someone was to... want, or if there's a demand to see a sequel or a prequel or something like that, I'd definitely do it.
I'd actually like
to go back there.
So you're definitely not sick of it then?
Oh, no.
Post-nuclear apocalypse? How can you possibly be sick and tired of that? Please.
That's right.
A little addition to the science fiction module this year, I introduced the team to A Boy and His Dog.
Yes.
Don Johnson movie. Which was that. I wasn't sure how you'd take it, but in the end you found it quite interesting.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Are you familiar with Don Johnson's A Boy and His Dog, Greg?
No, I actually don't know that one.
Well, it's Sophie. Would you...
Highly recommended.
There we are. I think it was 1976 or thereabouts when Don Johnson, way before his Miami Vice days, effectively took part in a Harlan Ellison original short story called The Boy and His Dog. I won't give away the ending, but it does involve cannibalism. That's all I should say. Okay, so it's a sort of dark humour, I think you'd probably say.
Definitely.
Dark humour in that. But again, it's sort of post-apocalyptic stuff as well that comes through. Holly, thoughts and questions from yourself?
I've only just asked one. I can't,
you have,
can't
you?
Think that
quite
quickly.
Right. Absolutely.
What do you expect of me?
It's astounding. It's all sorts of hilarious from that. I mean, in terms of the filmmaking art, Greg, I mean, clearly the route in terms of making motion pictures remains pretty much the same as it ever has been, that you can be the most talented director ever and you still have to raise funds for the next movie, the next project and so on and so forth. Some might say that actually enhances creativity. Some might say it'd be a lot better if we lived in Soviet Russia. At least Eisenstein actually sort of had a state grant to do what he actually does. What are your thoughts on the whole process? Or is it easier in Canada than perhaps south of the border? Or is that why perhaps our North American colleagues are so keen to actually move across the Maple Leaf line and actually start making movies in Vancouver and so on?
It's definitely a different process, because we do have government funding here instead of a studio system in the States. I can't say whether it's easier or not, but it's difficult because there's a very limited amount of money, because this money comes from the government. And, you know, there's politics involved and everything. And when you're dealing with a small amount of money as a creator, you do have to sort of acknowledge that writing to budget comes into account. But I think people are coming up here because it's cheaper and our crews are really good, really.
There we are. See, once again, the Canadian viewpoint comes across. And it's strange how many Canadians are actually joining us on the midweek drive from that point. It's almost become a standard thing. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Phil Dionis' co-presenter, Dean Haglund, is back with us as well. Standing stuff, really. I won't go into South Park and their view of Canadians, because it's politically, it's just not worth going down that route in any way, shape. It's a bit even worse than New Zealanders and Australians. It could only sort of end in tears. So it's not good at all. We need to mention how people can actually access the delights of Bunker 6. You can go to watchscifi.com, that's watchscifi.com/video/bunker-6. You can also just type in Bunker 6 into search engines and probably find that. But if you go to www.watchscifi.com/video/bunker-6, which I'm just doing now just to demonstrate the ease and simplicity of this, you get taken straight away to No Yesterdays, No Tomorrows. Bunker 6 is writer-director Greg Jackson's first feature-length film, a 78-minute science fiction psychological thriller. It should be no surprise that we like post-apocalyptic films here at Sci-Fi London. It's not because we have a pessimistic outlook for the future of the world, but more to do with them being a great platform upon which to examine human nature, or that they offer hope that, should we survive such an event, we can build a new and improved society from the waste. Much as we'd feel about a siren transmitter going down, we can build a new and improved thing from the waste of the whole sequence. Except we haven't got a fallout shelter as far as I'm aware. But never mind. Greg, have you got any questions you want to put to the assembled co-presenting team of Midweek Drivettes here? That would be Jessica Ward, Sophie Grayson and Holly Parker.
I'm not very good at these interviews, but
I would disagree. I would disagree, Greg. would you disagree, Holly?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
I think exactly.
It's,
you
know, it's a skill for someone to be able to talk to someone across the waters that you've never met, you can't even see, and I think you're doing a pretty decent job.
Absolutely, and
thanks.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Tilbury, also Canadian, but he went to Nashville to live. So he's probably part of a missionary route of Canadians who are kind of going south to kind of civilize those folk who, obviously, their barbaric CIA ways have to cope with all sorts of things. Didn't mean that, Barrack. Honestly, if you're listening, CIA, you know, we love you all. Big, happy family.
Oh, they're listening.
But,
yeah.
but remember, build small huts. That's what you need. Build small huts. Anyway, final two questions for your good self, Greg, and they do tie into all sorts of other areas. Have you had a reasonably interesting, he said the words again, telephonic chat on the show today?
Oh, yeah. It's always fun to think about talking to someone across the ocean.
It's almost, I mean, you would almost say, if we were 150 years ago, you'd say it's impossible. It's a fantasy. It just couldn't possibly happen at all. You are insane to even believe that that was going to happen. But I think we've just proved that it could, at least either that or we're engaging in some kind of mass hallucination, which is somehow just quite bizarre. But allowing for that, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, Greg Jackson, and keeping us appraised of the film industry in Canada? Actually, whereabouts in Canada do we reach you today? Because Canada is quite a big place.
I'm in Halifax,
Nova Scotia.
Grey and rainy Halifax. Yeah, Nova Scotia.
I can't think
it's
of
on the coast.
Sorry. I can't think of anywhere except West Yorkshire when somebody says Halifax, and that conjures a very particular image that's not necessarily pleasant.
It's fairly similar, having been to both areas.
Sophie Grayson has said those ultimate words. Halifax, Yorkshire, very similar to Halifax, Nova Scotia.
In which case... I sympathise. with the bunker idea, I, like Sophie, can probably see where you come from.
We celebrate the goodness. So I take it, Greg, you will return in 2015 to the show?
Yes, of course.
A winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain. And an island never cries. I am a rock. I am a rock. I am a rock.
Bobby Goldsboro, known probably for some of the first time, and Honey and a whole heap of other things with his interpretation of the Simon and Garfunkel classic, I Am a Rock. Holly, you are a brick, but you're leaving us. Are you not?
Yeah, I am leaving. I was more confused at being called a brick.
I'm
just going to...
A rolling stone, maybe.
Yeah, I would rather be a rolling stone.
I quote from Ron.
Oh, I'd rather be a rock or an island.
I'm quoting...
Anything an island to do with the stone.
I'm quoting from Ron Ely, who, of course, was Television's Tarzan of the Apes, when in the movie Doc Savage, he actually turned around and said, Mona, you're a brick. And it was very positive.
He's not the poor chap who ended up in the asylum, is he?
No.
No, thank goodness. There is someone who, the first bloke who played Tarzan, who ended up in an asylum because he had dementia or whatever when he was older.
And it wasn't Johnny
Boyle.
And
all he did was the thing, which I won't do too loudly.
That's not quite the sort of Tarzan of the Apes yell that we've come to appreciate. But anyway,
it's a good attempt.
It was awful. I'm not even going
to
try.
Holly, would you like to introduce our next superb guest co-presenter for her last time this year? Because, like yourself, and also possibly the last time until 2016, that's 16 minutes past 8 o'clock, as opposed to 8:15.
May this be the wonderful Michelle Monroe?
I think it may be.
Well,
Michelle.
I would love to introduce her. Hello.
I live on the rock.
You see, it all works together. And not a brick. Fantastic stuff.
No, a brick means good sport, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. I could take it as a compliment now.
Not as a derogatory term.
I was thinking my intelligence was being insulted.
Alex wouldn't do that.
Thank you, Michelle. Very good. Yeah, keep it positive. Keep it real. That's the important thing. Okay, Holly, thank you. We salute you. We'll see
thank
you next
you.
Time.
Thank you. Goodbye. Merry Christmas, everyone.
God bless. Happy Christmas to everyone.
Exactly. And so we've ended another Michelle. No, we haven't. We've only just started. Of course we have. Exactly. Oh, it's very confusing, but we still have the fabulous Sophie Grayson and the equally fabulous Jessica Ward on set and ready to actually indulge in Christmas magic. Of course, it's time for your introduction in your own superlative way to another classic Matt Munro festive piece of magic.
Well, Alex, this week's Christmas song is a bit more of a rarity. My father only officially recorded 2 Christmas songs, but a few years back I discovered this recording on an old acetate. It was recorded in 1961 for a long-lost BBC radio show called Potpourri 61 and broadcast on Saturday the 2nd of December. For many years, despite lots of digging, I couldn't find any more about the song, but we now know that it was written by Mark Lawrence, whose main occupation was director of an advertising agency. The song was also recorded by 2 other people, Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians and Frankie Avalon, and has the alternate title of The Meaning of Christmas. But Alex, more often, it's called Christmas Magic.
The finale of our Potpourri 61 is a collection of pop songs for Christmas, and our guest Matt Munro sings one of the best of this year's seasonal songs, Christmas Magic.
Christmas, Christmas is magic, the magic of love. But always remember, it's more than a tree. Real Christmas magic comes from you. I'm loving. That's how Christmas magic came to be. And that's what Christmas magic means to me.
So, New Zealander extraordinaire and indeed a keen person from the Isle of Man these days, Jessica Ward, what did you make of Christmas Magic from Matt Munro?
I thought it was very festive.
Very festive, very good. Mm-hmm. And Sophie, you've already admitted you just love old-time TV shows.
Beautiful. It transported me back to BBC concert halls and all the glamour.
Friday night is music night.
Indeed.
So I think it's thumbs up, Michelle.
I'm glad to hear that because it's the only Christmas song that's really one of Dad's. He's done 2 others or so, but they're well-known ones. And to find that was fantastic, you know.
Mary's Boy Child, of course, being 1, and When a Child is Born. Or was that 2?
Yes.
I don't know.
That is 2, yeah.
Very confusing.
But it's a shame because there wasn't time to make, you know, an actual dedicated Christmas album. But anyway, we found the one song of his, which was nice.
Exactly so. So, Michelle, 2016 is the time when we'll be basically resuming connections with your good self, although there will be a special going out on February the 8th with, I believe, Tom Stevens, Lord help us, looking after the whole thing. It's simply
well, yes,
jazz.
It's Dad's anniversary on the 7th,
yeah.
And so hence next year's a very busy year with the 30th anniversary. So, yes, sadly, I won't be with you for a little while, but I will be back. I'm threatening you.
It's very true. And as I say, if people are having withdrawal symptoms, then the vast majority of these pieces that we've done with your good self over the years, Michelle, are available on the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com site. Simply go there and find the little line which says Michelle Munro, and all the magic will be there. And as actually, just to prove that is the case, I'm going to demonstrate it on air now with, of course, Sophie and Jessica kind of as witnesses to this reasonably interesting piece that we're actually doing. Sorry, we're having a little chocolate eating game in the studio as we speak, multitasking effectively. It's almost like the drinking game, except every time we say the words reasonably interesting, assembled Midweek Drivettes need to actually select another piece of chocolate to actually consume.
Of course it does.
Yeah, I think so. It's very good from that point of view.
It's a very difficult game.
It is
indeed. Having just sort of said I was actually trying to demonstrate how easy the thing
you
was
can't
just
do
got,
it, can you?
We just got an arrow going through, but hopefully there we are, you see. So there we are, we're onto that site and it screeches around just sticking to it, and then if we go down to the side there we find the section marked Michelle Munro, click on that, and as if by magic and the wonderful world of the internet, as the thing comes through there, we can see all from 26th of November, 29th of October, 1st of October, 17th of October, all the way back 2040, and so on and so forth, and even on older entries that we've got there. So it's simple. If you, in fact, probably if you do a quick calculation, something of the order of 20 hours of non-stop Michelle Monroe, if you wish
really
to actually
how
go.
How boring for everyone.
There are other events as well that you can put into place as well, going back to the whole thing. For instance, back in the 8th of January 2014, you were part of the Sherman Brothers Drones Curry and Answer Me, which is very apt because Arthur Weingarten would have been with us today, but he's going in for a bit of surgery. So Arthur will be joining us in the new year. So fingers crossed.
Well.
Best wishes indeed to our ace producer and writer, Arthur Weingarten. I think I'll ask Sophie to bowl those two questions to you now, because after all she can do it in such a reasonably interesting way. It's phenomenal. I'm talking because she obviously has taken the game seriously and is currently actually consuming a piece of chocolate and
why
proving that
me?
she's an ace. That's what Mario Balotelli used to say. Why always me? And you know, much as we'd love to see you as a lifesaver, and you are playing for Liverpool Football Club, it's not going to happen. Not in the near future.
Can't help it if I'm competitive.
That's very true. Very true. Anyway, off you go then. Last two questions for Michelle Monroe, please.
So, Michelle, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have.
It's been fantastic, and I hope you have a very good 2015, and we'll be speaking to you as soon as 2016 rolls around.
Well, you never know. I might just pop up and surprise everybody next year. You never know.
Fantastic.
But yes, I'll definitely be back in 16.
Exactly. Michelle Monroe, she shall.
And I thank everybody for the last 3 years. It's been really great, and I wish all the Siren listeners a really happy Christmas and a happy and healthy new year.
Oh, how sweet.
Isn't that wonderful? Exactly.
And to you too, Michelle. Yeah.
Thank you.
Precisely. Coming up next, Rosie Tratt and Rachel Abbott from On Broadcast. Okay, well, doing the big announcement for Rosie Tratt and Rachel Abbott guarantees that they're not going to answer the telephone, which is fair enough, we can appreciate that. But we are going to actually attempt to contact Rachel Abbott via the medium of the mobile phone, which means we might well simply actually leave a message on the voicemail. Something, of course, which you know is kind of part of the service that we provide here on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM, and quite rightly so as well. Will she actually pick up? Will we actually get the whole thing? Will it simply go to answer phone? Who knows? It's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry of life. But it is ringing. So that's a good start, really. Anyway, they sort of go into all sorts of other areas, really. We don't know what could actually happen. Still, never mind. So we'll feel whilst that wonderful sound continues to ring in the background, going nowhere.
Hi, it's Rachel.
Yeah, you see, cunningly done. It is leaving a message
after
time.
After you finish your message,
dear.
Just hang up.
Yeah.
Or to hear more options. Press 1.
Very much so. What can we say? Rachel, it's Alex Levchuk and Sophie Grayson.
Hello.
And
Jessica Ward.
All set and ready to chat to your good self, and Rosie, of course, all geared up for this whole sort of system. And no, we can't. We've tried the studio number. That's not working. We tried the mobile number. That's not working. It's a tragedy almost of unparalleled proportions. But nevertheless, you know, we will just have to grin and bear it in all sorts of ways and possibly sort of fill in with that with a variety of other bits and pieces. Clearly, you know, the world was actually waiting to actually hear the dulcet tones of your good self saying,
"Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast. And you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive."
Or indeed, the classic quote of the year, which I will reveal has actually beaten Natalie Tuck's "Ooh!" and a variety of other things into a whole set of other scenarios. It's an interview you yourself did, which we carried on the Midweek Drive, when the question was definitely put by your good self.
Do you think you had a big lizard in there or something really unusual? You know how people seem to have the most unusual pets these days?
I'll say that again. What if you had a big lizard in there? Clearly, what's happened is that a big lizard has actually emerged, so that the question...
Do you think you had a big lizard in there or something really unusual? You know how people seem to have the most unusual pets these days?
may never be taken in the same line again. What the heck, Rachel? We salute you, Rachel Abbott. Hopefully we might speak. You can call us, obviously, at the studio number or get in touch with us, studio@sirenonline.co.uk. We can access that, sort out a variety of other bits and pieces, or else we'll just give Phil Leonis more time to actually talk about things that we'll also be going to Charles Spence to talk about as well. Splendid. OK, moving on. What do you think? A bit of Leanne Womack and I Hope You Dance, Jessica. Do you think that would be appropriate?
Mm-hmm. I think
OK, so. The up-tempo version, do you think?
Yeah,
we'll go up-tempo. We'll go for that.